It is indeed a privilege to be with you today, especially on this extremely special day, Mother's Day. As I looked over the congregation this morning and reflected on the first time that I came to Wise Baugh back in 1994, nearly 18 years ago, and as I looked over this crowd, it looks like to me about the majority of you mothers weren't mothers 18 years ago, and so things have changed, but what a blessing it is to have all ages as far as mothers are concerned, older, middle-aged, and young mothers, and what a special day to think about mothers, and I have preached in the church right next door to where the originator of Mother's Day here in the United States, Jarvis, I believe her name was, down in West Virginia, lived. And so Mother's Day is a special time, but really it's a biblical thing if you believe the Bible. And all the way back to the Ten Commandments, we see basis for honoring mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee. Amen. Well, we want to be blessed. We want things to go well. So honoring mother is a good thing to do. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here and appreciate the privilege. Sometimes things happen and my mind goes a little bit wacky, and I thought of all those things that were on the altar, and I could write an article about Mother's Day when they were lined on both sides of the altar, more than 36. But they weren't people, but there were 36 plus at the altar here this morning when this service began. Amen. So a writer's pen is a dangerous thing, and so is his keyboard. But great to be with you today. And I thought about, as I was praying about this service, about an outstanding Old Testament mother that we read about in Exodus chapter 2. Let's turn to that today. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. A woman down in Egypt, along the Nile River. Sister Ruth and I have been there, and we have seen that river. I've stood at its bank on various points, looked at that river. Sad day, though, in this passage of Scripture, all the male babies were to be thrown into that river and disposed of. You know, getting rid of babies isn't anything new. It goes back a long time. Thank God for mothers that love their babies, make the sacrifices necessary to keep those babies. Jochebed was one of those kind of mothers. Let's look at Exodus 2, verses 1 through 10. There went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit, what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Father in heaven, we thank you for this very special day when we think about motherhood and good, godly Christian mothers especially. And we pray, dear Father, that thou wouldst bless this time in thy word today. We thank thee for women of faith, women who have prayed for their offspring and prayed until Christ was formed in them and trained their sons and their daughters in godliness and righteousness. We pray, dear Father, that thou wouldst bless each mother present today. May the Word of God be a source of strength and inspiration for them. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help them. Some of them have small children with big challenges. Some of them have many years to mold these little lives. Others have children who are soon to leave home and will go out into this world soon on their own. Others have children who are already adults and have been for some time making their own way in the world. We pray you bless each and every one of them today. And may God's presence and power hover over us in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 9 says, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Oh, I thought about that scene. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it, that Moses paints. He's the one that wrote Exodus. This scene, here's Miriam hidden away, and here's little baby Moses in a basket in the bulrushes. I suppose most of us in southern Indiana would liken it unto a bunch of cattails. And there's this little basket in those bulrushes, and here's the Pharaoh's daughter, the princess. She comes down to the riverbank to bathe herself. Some say it's a religious ritual. Others say it's just for bathing purposes. We know this, if you get water in Egypt, you get it from the Nile. That's the source. That's where the water comes from. And so she goes down to the Nile River. And as she and her maidens are strolling along the bank there, they come to this area and perhaps they hear the baby crying or they spy it first. Indicates that curiosity is aroused, and they get this little basket to open it up, and then this little baby begins to cry. And it touches the heart of this princess. And this princess is moved with compassion. She says, oh, here's a little Hebrew boy whose parents don't want to cast him into the water. They don't want their little son to die. They don't want him to perish. I have compassion on this little baby boy. And then Miriam, eyeing the situation, comes rushing up, and she offers to go get a Hebrew to take care of this little baby and feed it and care for it. Now, isn't it interesting that somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit is able to deceive this princess into not realizing this very obvious plot? Who does she go to get? None other than the mother of the baby, her own mother, to come and care for her own son. Now, it doesn't take too much to connect the dots here or to think at least of the possibility, but evidently the princess, by the help of the Lord, is a little naive here, and she consents. And the daughter of Pharaoh said, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. She's getting paid. She's being rewarded for taking care of her own son and seeing to it that his life is spared. Don't you marvel at the providence of Almighty God right here? His hand working on a little bitty baby. Mothers are given the privilege of loving. And Jochebed was rewarded with the matchless privilege of loving and mothering her own son. In a day of career women and a vast number of daycare centers, it is indeed a privilege for a mother to mother her own children. and to love and care for her own child. I had reason the other day to call a daycare center and inquire about the fees that would be incurred of caring for two children for one day. My assignment seemed simple enough. I got out the yellow pages of the particular phone book for Bedford that was at my desk, the 2010 edition, and there were at least six daycare centers available. I called four of them, and three of them had already gone out of business. That must tell you something about the challenge of taking care of kids. The other one gave me their answering machine and told me to leave a message. I got discouraged and gave up. I failed to find the price for taking care of two kids for a day. But you know, it is a challenge at times, but it is rewarding as well to hear the cooing, to hear the first word, to see the smile, to watch the first step that's taken. Yes, there are rewards for the loving mother. It's wonderful to be loved back. The little child with a little kiss upon the cheek of mother is certainly a payday that she never forgets. Years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of southern Wales, carrying her teeny baby in her arms when she was overtaken by a blizzard. She never reached her destination. And when the blizzard subsided, the search party found her beneath a mound of snow. But they discovered that before her death, she had removed all of her outer clothing and wrapped it around her darling baby. When they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise and joy, they found that he was yet alive. She had mounded her body over him and given her life for her child, proving the depth of her mother's love. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, grew to manhood and became the Prime Minister of Great Britain and without a doubt one of England's best statesmen. But his mother showed her love by giving her life that he might live. Yes, there are many beautiful stories of caring mothers who loved their child, cared for them, and made tremendous sacrifices because of their love. I suppose that one of the greatest manifestations of love in this world is the love of a mother. I have never doubted my mother's love. Some have had mothers who perhaps did not show their children that kind of love. Sad to say, there are some mothers who have not been good examples. It's been my privilege on occasion when I'm not traveling for EFM or preaching somewhere to preach at our local jail there in Bedford. One of the last times I was privileged to preach to the women, the Lord settled down in a special way and several women sought the Lord. I believe that night there were 9 women present and 6 of them prayed in that particular service. And it touched and broke my heart when 2 of those mothers talked about how they wanted to get their life together because of their children that were at home. One of them's got a 4-year-old, another one has a 2-year-old. And I thought, how tragic to think that mothers of very small children are incarcerated because of things that they have done. What hope does a child have? Say, but for God's grace and mercy of transforming the life of that mother, to have a mother who's been in and out of jail. Sad to say, one of the men we preached to not too many months ago was guilty of murder. Jeremiah was involved in a drug deal trying to get some money from his aunt, and he and his girlfriend tried to get the money, and he eventually stabbed his aunt to death. And Jeremiah was in services for several services. He had tattoos all over his body. He was 17 years of age when he killed his aunt. the butcher knife, and what a horrible situation. But those who knew Jeremiah told me that his mother was anything but a good influence upon his life, and how that even as a child, she pointed him in the wrong direction. We ought to thank God for a loving mother. Thank God for mothers like Jochebed, who loved little Moses and was willing to make whatever sacrifices necessary to preserve his life. And that brings us to the next point. Mothers are given the reward of us of self-sacrifice. And certainly she was a sacrificial mother, giving herself to her son. True mothers have the privilege of offering themselves as a willing sacrifice upon the altar of the home. And any mother that's had any experience with children knows there's sacrifice involved in motherhood. And you don't have to be more than a casual observer to see this. It begins as soon as the little gal or guy is born. The crying, the changing of the garments, the feeding, the nights that are sleepless. I don't know what it is, but God somehow gives that mother a special sensitivity to hear that little child weep. I could sleep through our kids screaming, but my wife could hear them as they would cry in the night. Sometimes I had to help, but I could sleep through it. But mothers just seem to have a sensitive ear to hear and are willing to get out of bed and care for their beloved. A cartoon in the Saturday Evening Post showed a young boy about 5 or 6 years of age talking on the telephone. And he was quoted as saying, "Mom is in the hospital. The twins and Roxy and Billy and Sally and the dog and me and Dad are all home alone." Well, when Mama isn't there, you're alone. There's just something about when Mom isn't there that it's just not the same. And I've thought back on a few instances in my own life when Mother wasn't there and what a mess things got into in a hurry. When Mother isn't there with her loving way of keeping things in control. Some of you have read about a farm boy from Fishhook, but some of you haven't. And there's a story in there about my mother not being home and how it was time for the evening meal. And my dad made his attempt at preparing the evening meal. And some of us are all thumbs when it comes to working in the kitchen. And my dad was no exception to that rule. And he made his attempt to keep us boys from starving and preparing the food. He did his best to make gravy. And as he worked at the job, it was too thin, and then it was too thick, and then it was too thin, and then it was too thick. And by the time he got through, there was a skillet of milk gravy, probably enough to feed the dogs and cats for several days when he got through with that. It's just not the same when Mother isn't home. Every true mother's a giver. She gives herself sacrificially for those that she loves. Her cooking, her baking, her cleaning, her caring are all hallmarks of her love. A 13-year-old daughter is perhaps having more trouble than some teens discovering who she is because she is adopted from South Korea. And she had no idea who her birth mother was. She'd received braces on her teeth, and she was more and more uncomfortable as the days wore on. By bedtime, she was miserable from those new braces. Her newly adopted mother gave her some medication, invited her to snuggle up with her for a while. Soon she became more comfortable and drowsy, and in a small voice that gradually tapered off to sleep, she said, "Mom, I know who my real mom is. It is the one who takes away the hurting." And you know that's what moms are good for, taking away the hurting. I don't know what there is about a mother's kiss that has such pain-killing force in it, but I have experienced it more than once as a child. I vividly remember one time as a barefooted boy running and finding a root that was where my foot was. And that root tore a hunk of hide off of my big toe about the size of a dime. And, oh, that hurt. Some of you have been barefooted. You've caught your foot on a stone or a root. You know how that can be. And I don't know how a mother could have the grace to kiss a dirty toe. But I tell you, the mothers that do it can take away an awful lot of pain in just a moment's time. Yes, a loving mother certainly can make a tremendous difference in the life of her offspring, even though it is a sacrificial love. Let me share with you a mother's prayer. I wash the dirt from little feet, and as I wash, I pray. Lord, keep the ever pure and true to walk the narrow way. I wash the dirt from little hands, and earnestly I ask, Lord, may they ever yield to do the humblest of tasks. I wash the dirt from little knees and pray, Lord, may they be the place where victories are won and orders sought from Thee. I scrub the clothes that soil so soon and pray, Lord, may her dress throughout eternal ages be the robe of righteousness. Ere many hours shall pass, I know I'll wash those hands again. There'll be dirt upon her dress before the day shall end. But as she journeys on through life and learns of pain, Lord, keep her precious little heart cleansed from all sin and stain, from soap and water, for soap and water cannot reach where thou alone can see. Her hands and feet, these I can wash, but Lord, I trust her heart to thee. And certainly that is a good prayer. Oh, that God would bless those sacrifices made by loving mothers. But also she's rewarded for making a great life. You know, Jochebed was given wages. Jochebed, I believe, spiritually found payday when Moses made a profound choice. The Bible tells us in Hebrews about that great payday for Jochebed and her husband, Moses' father. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, we read, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. But verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That was payday for Jochebed and her husband. That was payday when that little baby boy that they had, at the risk of their own life and safety, placed out there in the Nile among those flags, among those reeds in that basket, and trusted God to preserve him. Payday came many, many years later when, after Jochebed had prayed and her husband had prayed and God had been merciful, but the day came when she had to give that little baby up to the princess, had to take her hands off. You know, parents, that's a tough day. It's kind of like that day when that fella turned 16. And you give him the keys to the best car you ever owned in your life, knowing good and well the chances are pretty high you're going to ding a fender or crunch something with that car. And with all the grace you can muster, you give him the keys and pray earnestly that it won't be too bad of an accident. You know, In a sense, that's what Jochebed did with Moses. When he got to that point when she could no longer care for him, she could still pray for him, but she had to take her hands off and entrust him to Almighty God. That's a tough thing for parents to do. It's not easy. It's tough when they go off the first day of school, when they're just little. It's tougher when they go away to college. Probably toughest when they get married and are totally on their own. But there came a time when Jochebed had to let go of Moses. And he went off to the university. Oh, what a trying time that must have been for Jochebed. Here she was, a God-fearing, Bible-believing mother, and her son now is going to be trained in all the philosophies of the heathen. Just about like going to Indiana University. Egyptian University wasn't much better. I mean, there was sin abounding on the right hand and on the left hand. Had professors that didn't believe in God, atheistic heathens, all kinds of allurements, all kinds of temptations. But there was a Jochebed on her knees saying, "Oh God, keep your hand on Moses. Keep your hand on my boy, Lord. You preserved him out there in the Nile River. You kept your hand upon him. You let me care for him and nurse him up until he got to the point where I had to give him up. Now, Lord, you keep your hand on him while he's in the university." Some of you parents have prayed like that. Your children went off to school. May have even been to Bible school. Not everybody goes to Bible school, comes back with the victory. Some of them go away to Bible school and lose out. That's sad, but it happens. You got to pray for them all the time. Need to get in the habit. You know, Job got in the habit of praying for his kids. He offered up sacrifices for them daily. It may be they've cursed God in their heart. Maybe something's not where it ought to be spiritually. So he kept praying for them every day. Kept offering up sacrifices for them. Poor God. I don't know much about Jochebed. The Bible doesn't tell much about it. But there came a day when she had to let go, and that boy went off to the universities. And he learned the ways of the Egyptians. Exposed to the philosophies of the world and the things of sin on the right hand and on the left. And then there came a point in his life where he made a choice. And you know, there's a time comes whenever man and woman and boy and girl make a choice. And Moses got to that point where he could make a choice. And he chose rather to identify himself with God's people over here than to identify himself with Pharaoh and being the king of Egypt. He said, I'm just going to identify with the slaves and the outcasts and the scum of the earth rather than to enjoy a fleeing kingdom and the pleasures of sin that are so seasonal. You know, if Jochebed would have been a holiness Christian, I think she'd got her hanky out right about here. And I think she'd have had her a little spell and run up and down the aisles praising God when she heard about her little boy who, when he got of age, made the choice to choose to go with God's people, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, you know, we're beginning to get into the springtime and the fruits are seasonal, you know. And they tell me that the strawberries got hit pretty hard with the frost, and I read in the paper where the strawberry season's about a has been here in southern Indiana because of the warm weather and the frost and all. You know, but the strawberry season here, for the most part, kind of a short season. And that's the way it is with sin. It's a short season. There's pleasure there, but it doesn't last very long. And Moses, by the grace of God and by the prayers of his mother, came to realize that early in life. Thank God. Early in life, he chose to be identified with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, because he knew that there were things that were eternal as well as things that were temporal. You know, my wife's sister, Becky Lyon, went to be with the Lord last October. And 2 years ago this weekend, she asked me to have her funeral. We're sitting in a Bob Evans restaurant in Pekin, Illinois. And she and her husband and my wife and I, and she turned to me and asked me to have her funeral. Now, I've had people ask me a lot of questions in Bob Evans, but I'll tell you, I wasn't ready for that one. She had terminal cancer and knew she didn't have long to last. And yet she lived nearly 2 years from the time that she was diagnosed with cancer. She had 6 children, 4 daughters, 2 sons. And when she was first diagnosed with cancer, one of her daughters was not saved and had not lived for God during her adult life. She'd made a few starts, never really walked with God. But there came a day, January the 19th, 2011, when Esther Lyon repented of her sins and purposed in her heart that she was going to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. She had tasted of the pleasures of sin and knew they were seasonal. She had succeeded in life in many ways, had worked at Mayo Clinic and had received promotions and honors in the field of medicine and was well thought of. But she needed God, and she made a choice on January 19th, 2011. And oh, what a difference it made. And when we would be around Becky after that, she was so glad that her daughter had gotten to God, was living for God. The last few months of her life, Becky was in very serious condition with cancer, and her own daughter, Esther, a registered nurse, came and cared for her mother week after week after week after week, and was there that morning when she went to heaven. You know, it was a source of tremendous encouragement to Becky to know that after all those wasted years, at last there came a point when she chose, that daughter chose to identify herself with the holiness crowd and go the holiness way. That was payday. That was payday. That was payday for Mother. Yesterday, Esther Lyon could have walked through a graduation exercise in Richmond, Virginia, and received a doctorate of nursing, anesthesia, and because of circumstances, she didn't go. Her mother, of course, had gone on to heaven. But I told her yesterday, I said, you need to get your picture taken with your cap and your gown and have a picture of your mother in your hand, because she was so proud of that daughter that had chosen to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. They're seasonal. And what a joy it is when parents see their sons and their daughters choose to walk in the way of faith that they have tread. Oh, that God would help us as parents to be like Jochebed and her husband, that we would see our children also take the way of faith. As you read that 11th chapter of Hebrews, you get to that point where that choice is made early on. We see that the parents, by faith, build an ark for the saving of little baby Moses. And later on, by faith, Moses chose to take that same faith as his course of life. And God mightily used Moses, but it started back there with parents that had also had faith and stepped out and minded God and did what God wanted them to do, made it easier for their children following behind to also take the way of faith. A caller found a young mother with a babe in her lap and her Bible in her hand. "Are you reading to your baby?" was the humorous query. "Yes," the mother replied, "but do you think he understands? I'm sure he doesn't understand now. But I want his earliest memories to be that of hearing God's word. God's word is the sword of the Spirit. Only by his word are we purified and strengthened to do his will. It is impossible to overestimate the importance of reading the word all through life. And I want to start early." Good thought. Thomas Edison paid a beautiful tribute to his mother when he said, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence that has lasted all my life. The good effects of her training I will never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I would have turned out badly. But by her firmness, her goodness, were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing." The Gaithers, in their song, give us what I think is so important in this tragic hour. Verse 2 says, "How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy it gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives." Moses, just a little baby among the bulrushes, but by faith his parents had prepared that little ark to save him. And God's hand was upon him. And that faith that they had eventually was embraced by their son. And he became the mighty leader of the people of God by faith. Oh, may God help us to pass the faith along to those who follow behind us. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the many mothers that are present today. We pray that God would bless them throughout this day, and may they have your presence with them. For those who have little children, Lord, and the many challenges that they bring, we pray God would give them special grace and help to do that mothering that they need to do. We pray, Lord, for those whose children are older, perhaps getting into the teen years with its many challenges, would you help them and give them grace to be steadfast in believing God in prayer for these important years of their life? And for those, Lord, whose children have already moved into adulthood, we pray that you would help their faith to still continue strong, believing God to help their children as well. Now go with us throughout this day. Bless this day and sanctify it to your glory and honor. And bring us back tonight blessed and on fire for God. In Jesus' name, amen.